Good evening. Would you still love me if I was a 4-mana 6/5 worm that has flash as long as I control the desert? Kira.
Good evening. I've left you a land token in a testamentary trust in my will. Maya.
And today we are talking about etiquette.
Yes, darling. Etiquette.
We are specifically talking about tournament etiquette.
Tournament etiquette, darling.
And first, we would like to extend our congratulations to you. Congratulations. For qualifying for a tournament.
We're talking about tournament etiquette today.
It's true.
We've had a previous episode where we've discussed kind of your first competitive event, dipping your toes into the competitive pool. That would have been something like your RCQs. But now, we have to talk about what happens after you've queued for your RC. And there is a little bit more prep that goes into preparing for a bigger tournament like this. And today we're going to break that down for you. And we've cataloged everything kind of into a before, during, and after the tournament. And we're specifically looking at this through an RC lens, which is a regional championship lens. So it's that one step up from an RCQ, which is still a competitive event. But this is now what we would consider a tournament, like a really big, high level of Magic play focused tournament. And these are events that we have attended in the past. I have even commentated. I commentated RC9, which was standard. And we have RC10 coming up in October, which is going to be modern. And so this is a bit of a primer on what to do at your big tournament. You know, we've taken the training wheels off. This is the next step on the journey.
For those who are old and decrepit like me, these are like your PTQs, essentially. They are larger events, kind of in the ilk of GPs, but aren't quite at that 2,000 player level. We're talking 300 to 500 players.
Oftentimes, the prizes and the rewards for winning these events are fairly significant. First place at an RC generally qualifies for Worlds as well as the Pro Tour, and the other top, oftentimes 10, maybe 12 players in the event will also qualify for Pro Tour. Worlds is often the big cheese right there, is qualifying for Worlds. And our beloved Jennifer Rose was the winner of the last RC, so she qualified for Worlds. But the other top 10 finishers at that event also qualified for Pro Tour. So let's talk about before the tournament.
The common feeling is that a big tournament starts a week before the tournament.
Yes, there is actually a lot happening prior to you going to the tournament. There can be any number of testing that you do with your team or with other Magic players. There can be a bit of deck prep. There can be watching other events that are happening either, you know, in the States or abroad, and double checking kind of where the meta is at. But let's talk very, you know, unilaterally. It's the day before your tournament. It is the day before your RC. Sleep well. Go to sleep early. You are likely going to be playing at least 5 rounds. Usually at events with more than 300 people, it's closer to 8 preliminary rounds prior to a cut to top 8. 5 rounds of best of 3 is about 6 hours at a minimum. And if you're looking at 8, it's probably closer to 9 or 10 because you will have a meal break somewhere in between, probably 3, 4, or 5, somewhere around theirs. You use your brain a lot during Magic. Me, not so much, but plenty of competitive players. Like, playing Magic is a focused game. It is a focused game, if that makes sense. You are making a lot of decisions, and importantly, you're making a lot of micro decisions. And that's a heck of a lot of brain power to be consuming 8 hours straight at a minimum. So, go to bed early. Tuck in early. Go to sleep. Get some sleep. Don't stay up until 3 in the morning, or avoid staying up until 3 in the morning. You know, minutely tweaking your sideboard and deck teching. Get some rest.
It is really important that you are well rested. And, you know, I could go on a health advice tangent and be like, yeah, make sure you maintain a regular sleep schedule for the week before the event and stuff like that. But at a minimum, especially if, you know, there are things that cause interruptions to your sleep, make sure that you are in bed for at least 8.5 hours. is my general recommendation if you can. And Jennifer Rose actually talked about exactly what you were talking about in terms of focus. She talked about something called rationing effort, which is the idea that at some point you have to make sure that you're not blowing all your effort on rounds one and two. And then, you know, the only thing going on in your brain after round three is a monkey playing the cymbals. A good sleep and a good start and really a good run-up to your tournament is going to be really critical both for how you're feeling as well as your mental capacity and your capacity to play throughout the day.
After you've had a good night's sleep, eat a good breakfast.
Food.
Eat food. And I sound like a hypocrite because I generally don't eat breakfast, but I'm also not playing a Magic tournament every day. Eat good food. Eat a full breakfast. It is so important. I don't know if you know this, but your brain runs on energy.
Crazy.
Energy. Eat a good breakfast. For the similar reasons as we've just said, you want to be well fed before a day-long event. Food makes your brain go brrrr, and eating a good meal before the event will help with your overall physicality leading up to and during the tournament. This is also where I would recommend getting snacks that you like and are capable of being consumed in under 10 minutes, ideally under 5 minutes. When I've played, an RCQ, I bring like 3 granola/protein bars with me and eat those like in between every other round or as I get hungry. That is so vitally important to your brain continuing to be able to make those micro decisions and not immediately turn to monkey clapping cymbal mode. The longer that you play, the more tired you will get, and you will need those bits of energy to be able to keep going. It is going to be very difficult today, too, on 3 hours of sleep and 2 black coffees. It's not impossible. I'm sure there are people who have done it, but the overall physical experience of that may not be quite to your liking.
We are not dietitians, but as a diabetic, I have had to contend with the fact that food is not food is not food, right? The types of food that you eat and when you're eating and how you're eating it does actually matter quite a bit, especially in the context of a high-performance situation. Because make no mistake, playing in a long Magic event is a high-performance situation. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. So making sure the things that you're eating early on in the day are things that are going to fuel your body not only in the short term but in the long run is really important. Turns out your brain needs carbohydrates to function. So please make sure you are eating some amount of carbohydrates. And if you can, the kinds of carbohydrates that are going to release slowly over the course of the day as opposed to causing large spikes in your blood sugar. Something like the go-to for me as a diabetic is something like brown rice or whole grain toast, something that has enough of a fiber content to release over the course of the day. And this is true also of your snacks. In terms of snacks, I generally don't recommend chowing down a chocolate bar right before you have to sit and think intensely for 10 minutes.
But I love Twix so much.
I also love Twix. Twix is banging. But if you're going to have Twix, make sure you have something that's going to dilute how quickly it is going to spike your blood sugar. Because your brain actually does have to dedicate some amount of resources to processing the food that you just put in your stomach. And spikes and then drops in blood sugar, take it from a diabetic, can really strongly affect your ability to perform in a cognitive sense. So please make sure you are taking care of your sleep, but also your diet. Please don't just grease up. Some of us can do it and can perform anyway. And you know what? I salute you. But by and large, please make sure you are having something healthy.
There's a little bit of admin to do before a tournament as well. And that largely comes in the form of submitting your deck list ahead of time. Have your deck list finalized prior to the start of the event. Submit it beforehand. If the TO has provided an email or other deck list tool for submissions, get it in as soon as you have that deck list done. This ultimately helps the TOs ensure that they have all the information they need and also means your event is more likely to start on time. No judge wants to be hunting down players for a deck list. Just have it ready. Oftentimes, a lot of TOs will still accept paper deck lists, but by and large, bigger events like RCs are moving to pretty much exclusively digital deck tools. And that's for a variety of reasons that happen behind the scenes. It helps with meta breakdown information. It helps the commentators. Commentators often get copies of deck lists so that they know exactly what to talk about and predict and think about is coming up in the next of play. Have your admin done. Have yourself sorted, situated, and squared away.
And keep an eye on the decklist submission times. Often for large events, the cutoff for deck submission is 10 p.m. the night before. And the cost for not submitting your decklist is a game loss. It is a tardiness violation. So please make sure you have your decklist on time, or the cost can be pretty significant. A game win or a game loss can make a huge difference to your overall performance in a tournament. And it's certainly not the way you want to start off the day.
Exactly. You don't want to start off already behind. So, as Maya said, keep an eye. The last RC, RC9, decklists were due the day before. And that was a no exceptions. They are due the night before. Have your admin ready. You'll probably also sleep better as well, knowing that everything's squared away.
And the judges won't have to hunt you for sport.
It's true. The last piece of advice that we have in our before the tournament section is a sentiment that Aussies will recognize immediately. And it is what I have dubbed and stolen from the Australian government, slip, slop, slap. Slip into the shower, slop on some clean clothes, and slap on some deodorant.
While in the shower.
Don't do all of those things while you are in the shower.
Do them simultaneously.
Do them one after the other. Tournaments are big events with lots of people, and depending on the season, the size of the event, and the location, things can get a little ripe inside. You know, RC10 is kind of towards the start of spring for us, and it's in a relatively small room, and there's going to be maybe 300 people there. I like it when 300 people smell nice.
I believe the wonderful Jennifer Rose called it unbecoming to the untrained nose.
If you're playing at an LGS or some other smaller venue, there is a chance that shops will sometimes put deodorant in the bathrooms for you to touch up in between rounds. Otherwise, bring it in your bag. I always have a little thing of deodorant on me. I will not be a stinky gamer. That is not me. Not I.
Nor I. I am.
I don't know, you were kind of slow on the uptick on that one.
Look, I am a naturally pungent human being, so it is very prudent of me to carry around deodorant. But it is also worth noting, if you need a reason aside from common decency to put on deodorant, judges can remove you from the tournament for stinking, basically. So if all you need for a reason to, you know, make sure that you're clean and not smelling is, you know, win percentage, then there's a really significant draw to actually making sure that you smell nice and you present nicely. Because honestly, even if everybody in that room is well showered and clean, has clean clothes and has deodorant on, there is just going to be some level of smell with 300 people in a room. It is inevitable. So don't contribute to that more than you need to.
Also, if you're sitting down to play 8 hours of competitive Magic, there is a chance that nature will just run its course and things will happen.
It's true. After 8 hours of Magic, I am sweating through my eyeballs.
Slip into the shower, slop on some clean clothes, slap on some deodorant. If for no other reason than your EV percentage points.
You gotta. You just gotta.
At the tournament, this is the section that I am dubbing the three T's. This is TM, 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 me. This is the three T's that I have dubbed for the tournament.
Kira's three T's.
Kira T's three T's. And they are timeliness, tidiness, and temperament. Timeliness encompasses, as you would expect, being on time. It is always best practice to arrive early. Arrive early to the event to ensure sign-up is complete and your deck list has been received. When pairings have been announced, head to your table. If you need an extra minute to grab a token or a bottle of water, let your opponent and a judge know.
Judge!
When your match is over, submit your results as soon as you are done. Judges will hunt you for sport if you do not do this.
We like it so very, very much. If we can get in a cheeky game loss, we'll do it. That is a lie and a mischaracterization. We would just prefer not to hunt you down. We don't want a game loss. People, we like a smooth tournament, but please, God, please submit your match results. We beg you.
Well, I was going to say, is that actually a thing that happens, like, if you're 10 minutes over time and it's because a judge can't find you and your opponent and there's no, like, score submitted, and then finally when they find you, they're like, yeah, we finished ages ago, and they're like, you haven't put your result in. Can you get a tardiness violation for that?
You can get removed from the tournament.
Awesome. When time is over in a round, it is a good habit to head back to where the event is taking place to make sure you are on time for your next round pairings. It's also just a good idea to check on how the event is progressing. Which pairings are still playing? Are there people who are going to be over in time? What decks are they playing? Again, this is what Mulch would consider magic on hard mode. Who is taking the longest amount of time? What decks are they playing? Are they likely going to be in your bracket for the next round?
For those who don't know, Mulch is a local Melbourne player who has been playing for years and years and years. He's a Magic blogger, and he has quite a few tournament successes under his belt. Mulch is great. We love Mulch.
He's a very successful Magic player, and so I take what he says very seriously. But timeliness is, like, of the essence at a tournament at this scale. There is not a lot of patience for frivolous tardiness. Showing up 10 minutes late with Starbucks in hand is not a reasonable excuse. But that being said, if you need to go get a drink of water, if you need to go get a snack really quickly, the best practice is just to go find a judge and let them know.
Judge!
If you are going to be a little bit late, err on the side of caution, because at least in that way, someone knows where you are. Oftentimes, if you tell a judge you're going to be a little bit late, they can go to your table, find your opponent, and give them the heads up. You do not want to be the person who doesn't let anyone know. Your opponent sits there for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes as everyone else has started their round and they're wondering where their opponent is. And then there's a chance that, like, that's all, you know, that is the start of a somewhat negative interaction. And you are showing in that way that you don't respect the time and you don't respect what's happening at the event. Timeliness is respectful. You are respecting your time, the TO's time, the judge's time, your opponent's time, your fellow player's time, and you're respecting your own time and space.
As somebody who has worked behind the scenes at these events as a judge, part of the things that you're looking to do is, over the course of an 8 or 9 round tournament, is make it go as smoothly as possible. Because, frankly, nobody wants to be there for the 12th hour. Our role as judges, at least in some capacity, is to make sure the tournament is running smoothly. And that means that rounds are closing as close to 50 minutes as is possible. It means there are as few negative interactions happening as possible. It means making sure that everyone, including the commentary team, the tournament organizers, are well-informed and, to an extent, well-fed. And it is really important to that process that you make sure you rock up on time and you submit your results on time so that we, as the tournament staff, can get you home on time as well. Magic is fun, but it's not fun when it drags out forever.
Our next point here is tidiness, and we're going to kind of breeze through this one really quickly. Keep your deck box, tokens, and dice all together. This is the equivalent of keep your arm, your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside
the ride at,
the
all,
ride
times,
at all times. Yeah. Additionally, do not have cards in your deck box that are not a part of your main deck or sideboard.
This is a real easy way to get game lost, folks.
Maya, why can you not have cards in your deck box that are not a part of your main deck or sideboard?
So the way deck checks work is that we take everything in your deck box to be the things that you intend to play. And there are specific rules as to what you can and can't have in there. But one of the things that you absolutely cannot have in there are other magic cards that are playable. Now, if you're playing standard and you have a Primeval Titan in your deck box, that is broadly speaking fine. But the biggest thing that becomes an issue are proxy tokens. So things like have, you know, a random standard common and a, like, token slip in front of it, or basic lands used to represent mana. anything that could conceivably be played in your deck, regardless of if it's sleeved differently or marked differently, is considered to be part of your sideboard for the purposes of a deck check. So even if you have one additional card that shouldn't be there, even if it's hiding behind a piece of token paper, if it is there, we have to consider it part of your sideboard. And the reason is that we need to do that to avoid an easy way for people to cheat. While we understand that, you know, in terms of like the paper and the basic lands, people, broadly speaking, aren't intending to cheat that way. But if we don't punish it, it becomes a very easy outlet for people to have functionally 17 or 18 cards in their sideboard, which is functionally breaking the rule of the game. So we have to enforce it universally. Please be careful, folks. It's really important.
Keep your deck box tokens and dice all together. Now, we are going to have another mulch hard mode comment here. It is good practice to not show your opponent what tokens you have with you or what kinds of counters are in your bag, as this may unintentionally reveal information to your opponent. Reason being, if my opponent sits down and I see map tokens and 1/1 soldier tokens, I can guess that they run Spyglass Siren and Cosmogrand Zenith, and I may intuit I am playing against Esper Pixie, and the round hasn't even started yet. This can impact my decisions when taking mulligans to favor a hand that has better interaction for a Pixie deck, and this benefits me and not my opponent. Again, Mulch would refer to this as playing Magic on hard mode. And this is a good rule of thumb as well, just in keeping your play space tidy. And that's really also what we're referring to here. Oftentimes when you're playing these big 200, 300 person tournaments, you are sitting at a long table with 20 other players. If everyone's got all of their tokens and their counters sprued all over the table, it gets a little bit cluttered and a little bit difficult to figure out who's exactly got what. And moreover, in a competitive space like this where invites to Pro Tour and Worlds are on the line, I am inclined not to give my opponent any advantage over me that I don't implicitly give them just by playing the game. It's totally different if, you know, if I sit down across, you know, from Maya at a tournament and she turn one Watery Graves, shocks it in Spyglass Siren, I have a pretty good idea she's playing Esper Pixie, or at a minimum playing Dimir Midrange. And I can intuit that based on a game action. But when she sits down and she starts putting all of her little map tokens and all of her little 1/1 soldier tokens to the side, here's some good information that I have with me that I did not gain from actually playing the game. That was just from her sitting down, putting her tokens on the table.
As Ben Tubman said, Magic is fundamentally a game about information. It is not about reflexes or anything like that. It is a game about utilizing the information that you have as best as possible, which means giving away free information to your opponent is a detriment. And yeah, you know, there are all sorts of silly stuff you could do, like put goblin tokens in your, you know, in your deck box when you're playing Esper Pixie. But that's sort of beside the point. Making sure you have a clean and tidy play space, that everything is clear, is important to A, maintaining an accurate board state and respecting your opponent, but also avoiding the Magic the Gathering equivalent of man spreading. It is really important that you respect the people to your left and your right and your opponent, and making sure that the board state is clear so that the game of Magic can go as cleanly and as professionally as possible.
The last note here under tidiness is that if you have food with you, be sure to put it away or off the table while you are playing a match. It's fine to have a drink bottle or a beverage, but food should quite literally be off the table while you are playing your matches.
And drink if you can avoid it. If you can put your drink bottle under the table, that is best, particularly at high-end Magic tournaments. Some of those cards are worth a pretty penny. Don't risk getting water on them.
Again, that is just a consideration and a respectful thing for both you and your opponent. No one wants to inadvertently damage a card. If I want to read what your card says, you don't want me to have chip grease on my hands. You don't want me to have Cheeto dust on my fingertips, you know? It is just a matter of respect for the game and for the game pieces. Now, last T is temperament. Magic is a game played with other people. Be kind, courteous, and respectful to your fellow players, opponents, judges, and TOs. If something frustrating happens, endeavor to play it out or concede with grace. It is a well-understood saying that you can concede the game of Magic at any point. you can be given game losses and round losses for poor behavior. It is not worth it. If there is a situation where you are unsure how to react, you suspect your opponent may be cheating, you are being disrespected by your opponent, you worry an observer is passing information to your opponent, call a judge. You can, and sometimes should, take judge calls away from the table. You can inform your judge of the situation, and they will do what is in their power to help fix it. In general, I believe the best practice is to ask, not accuse. 9 times out of 10, assume best intentions. An opponent tapping their mana incorrectly may be an honest mistake, and you can call a judge to help investigate.
Judges also have a slightly better idea of what is and isn't allowed in a game of Magic. And just to reiterate the point, talking to a judge away from the table, especially at a competitive level event, is standard practice. It is a great thing to do to not leak information to your opponent, especially in an information-based game.
Magic is for everyone. Everyone who is at this event with you qualified to be there. There is no need to demean or disrespect anyone at this event. Again, poor behavior can incur actual game consequences in the form of violations handed out by judges. It is seriously not worth it to be anything other than pleasant and courteous. And moreover, because this is a community-focused game and you are a part of the community, it reflects on you and on your peers how you behave at these events.
Unsporting conduct violations as a judge are some of the violations that we take the most seriously and in the text are the most strict. We must act on them because ultimately we are trying to make a good play experience for everyone. And if you are disrupting that, it is a benefit to the tournament for us to remove you. So please be sure to not be a detriment to the overall play experience of the tournament. Be kind, be courteous, take care, and make sure you listen to your judges.
After the tournament, congratulations! You played a competitive level tournament. You've played a big RC. Celebrate. Rejoice. Eat food.
Yes, that.
You will be so hungry after you finish a tournament. You will be so, so, so hungry.
I'm hungry now just thinking about it.
Go out and have a celebratory meal with your teammates or other friends at the event. One of the best things that I ever get to do after these events is go to the pub with a bunch of people after the tournament and have, you know, greasy food and drinks and to talk about the event, talk about what happened, just commiserate and just have, again, this is the other part of the gathering. Like, this is what the community is. It is really fun. These events are really serious and they're also really, really fun.
Or celebrate. It doesn't have to be commiserate.
It doesn't have to be commiserate. Oftentimes, hopefully, we're celebrating. Take pictures of your deck and share it online. There are a lot of accounts, you know, Robert Taylor, Fire Shoes, very classic figure in the Magic data side of things. Love seeing, like, what deck you played? What was your sideboard like? Oh, you're playing Rakdos Midrange? That's so interesting. How did that deck go? Your sideboard looks really cool. Revisit your matches. What went well? What went wrong? What could have been done better? Go and make sure you receive your prizing from the TOs. There are often prizes in some level for most people at any level, be it a booster pack or two. Often because these events have higher entry fees, there are some amount of prizes throughout. Obviously, of course, the higher you place, the better your prizes are. But go and receive your prizes from the TOs. Again, judges really do not want to have to track you down to give you a reward for being there. It is, of course, the best way to have a judge come up and talk to you. But be proactive. Take care of what I would consider your tournament admin.
It is worth noting as well that if you don't collect your prizes and we can't find you, the tournament organizer just keeps your prizes. So that's value you're leaving on the table.
You don't want it. You don't want that. You don't want the TOs taking your prizing. You want your prizing. And lastly, go home and prepare for the next one. These events are happening fairly frequently. They are happening in seasons as they are kind of dubbed. You've got the season, you know, this was RC9, we've got RC10, we'll eventually have RC11. The numbers go up. Number tick, go up.
Number only go up.
Number only go up. We have not yet figured out how to go back in time to RC7. congratulations. That was your first high-level tournament. Hopefully as well, this is a good primer on preparing for a tournament. Hopefully as well, there's something that you can take away or you can adapt this advice to better suit your needs and to suit the way that you are going to attend these events. Overall, this is broad advice. This isn't meant to be very narrow. It's meant to be broadly applicable to anyone who might come and play at an RC or other high-level event.
The only other thing I would say is go play these events. Going and playing large magic events with friends at a convention level or even just at these like big tournaments is so much fun. They are some of the most fun I personally have ever had. It's so great to play games and commiserate and chat and celebrate and sort of build up that anticipation, even if you're not playing in the event, by watching your friends play. Just go. Just have fun. Try it once. Enjoy it. Immerse yourself in the magic. It is so much fun.
And we wish you the best of luck.
Chokers.
Do you want me to close out?
You're cool.
A huge thank you to Wizards of the Coast for sponsoring this episode. A reminder to all Magic players that standard play season rewards are available at your participating Australia and New Zealand WPN stores until September 18th. Participate in 4 eligible events to receive exclusive Edge of Eternities rewards, including a station counter and ID card holder, available on a first-come, first-served basis while supplies last. Now, set your systems to warp. And with all that said, that's all we have for you today. We look forward to seeing you again next week. New episodes release on Mondays at 11 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. Until then, you can keep track of all of our releases at RaiseMTG on both Instagram and Blue Sky. You can find me on the same platforms at Kira Bobira and Maya at MayaMTG. A big thank you to the State Library of Victoria for the ongoing use of their space. And until next week, remember, Bright Star 1 to Flight Com, scopes are clear. The stars are yours.